Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've been looking at the permanent gifts of the Holy Spirit, or those gifts that are still in play today in the believer's life. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again we thankful for this opportunity to come and study thy words together. We thank you for the good old King James Bible. We pray that the saint of God listening today would be edified and built up in the things of thee, that they would be enlightened, that they would take something away from the study today that's going to help them. Help them to grow spiritually in the things of thee. Help them in the spiritual battle that they fight every day. Father, bless each listener today, I pray. I pray for the lost soul that's listening today, that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that's never trusted in His shed blood alone to pay for all those, for all their sins, and give them a home in heaven. We pray this would be the very day that they would call upon your name, Lord, in faith, from their heart, your name, the Lord Jesus Christ, and seek forgiveness. Father, I just commit this time into thy hand, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to continue now looking at the permanent spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. The next one we want to look at is the spiritual gift of helps or ministry. Helps or ministry. This gift is a supernatural ability to help and minister to others. As with the other gifts seen thus far, all Christians are to minister one to another. This gift, however, manifests an ability to help and minister beyond what is normally considered to be humanly possible. Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 16, verse 1. I believe he's speaking about here of someone in the church there that had the spiritual gifts, gift of helps or ministry. He says, I commend you to Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, and which is at Centuria. And then we read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Philippians 4, verse 3, Paul writes, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work in labor of love, which ye have shewed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So we see in those verses that we looked at in Romans, Philippians, and Hebrews, those being addressed who had the gift or helps or ministry. Now let's take a look at the spiritual gift of governments are ruling. Governments are ruling. Now, this gift is the supernatural ability to lead, guide, and oversee God's people. By definition, it is a gift that should be evident in the pastor and in any others in leadership in the local church. Let's look at Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Here we see the Apostle Paul giving his farewell address to the overseers, the bishops, the pastors, all the same, at Ephesus. He's given them a charge in some ways as he bids them farewell. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." So we see here then that Paul addresses the elders at Ephesus, and he says, he acknowledges that they're put there, they're given that gift of governments or ruling or overseeing the churches there by the Holy Ghost. Then look in Hebrews chapter 13 with me, verse 17. We read the following: "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So here in Hebrews, the instruction is to obey those and to submit to those in leadership that have the rule, that have that gift of ruling or governments. Let's turn our attention to the next permanent gift given by the Holy Spirit, the gift of exhorting. The gift of exhorting. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. In verses 24 to 25, we read the following: "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." To exhort is to verbally encourage, excite, and strengthen. All Christians are to be exhorting one another every time we come together in fellowship. Now, the gift of exhortation, however, is that special ability in this area given by the Holy Spirit to some believers in the local church. A lot of times we'll see that evangelists also have that gift. Not only are they have the gift of being an evangelist, but also of exhortation. When they come and they minister to the local church and they encourage them and excite them to go on for God and to serve God, amen. Now, let's turn our attention to the permanent gift of giving. Now, every believer is commanded to give and honor God with their substance. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 say the following: Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Let's see what the Apostle Paul had to say on the subject. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll look at verses 6 through 8 together. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So, all believers are commanded to give and honor God with their substance. Also, God always honors sacrificial giving. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 to 25. We read, There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So what is the gift of giving then? The gift of giving is the ability to sacrificially give to God far and above beyond what he requires in his word. We have a wonderful illustration of that. If you'll turn to Mark chapter 12. In verses 41 to 44. Mark 12, verses 41 to 44. We read the following. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. So here is the Lord making an observation on people's giving. He's watching them as they give. He says that he watched the people cast in the money, and he saw that the rich cast in much. And then he says, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. And he explains why. Why this poor widow cast more into the treasury than those that were rich. For all they did cast in out of their abundance. In other words, they didn't give sacrificially. They had plenty left over. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. This woman gave all that she had. But she of her want, her poverty. See, no one would have faulted her if she didn't give, because she didn't have much to give to begin with. But what did she do? She had that gift of giving, I believe. She was able to give far above sacrificially, amen, what she had. Then look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 3. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, ye, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. And Paul is again here talking about the churches of Macedonia. They were poor. The people in those churches were poor. He says they were deep in poverty. But boy, did they give sacrificially, he says. See? So obviously that was a church that many of the members in that church had the gift of giving. And of course, that gift of giving, again, is the ability to sacrificially give to God far above and beyond what he requires in his word. All right, let's look at the gift of showing mercy. The gift of showing mercy. All believers are to show mercy. But those believers with the gift of showing mercy have a tremendous, above average, Spirit-given capacity to show mercy and compassion to others. This gift, by definition, would be similar to the gift of helps or ministry. The difference appears to lie in the fact that showing mercy is aimed at giving specific relief to a person, whereas the gift of ministry or helps involves sharing part of a person's workload or burden. We read in Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Romans 12, verse 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. And then in Psalm 37, verse 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Now we want to look at the permanent gift of evangelists. What is an evangelist? According to the Word of God, an evangelist is a traveling preacher of the gospel who would have, to some extent, the gifts of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and prophecy. We see that Philip is identified as an evangelist. In Acts chapter 21, verse 8, we read this. Acts 21, verse 8. "And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed, and came into Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him." We remember back in Acts chapter 8, it was Philip, the evangelist, that led the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord. How? By preaching Jesus unto him. Amen. And notice what Paul wrote to Timothy in his second epistle to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, he says to Timothy, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And then finally, let's look at the permanent gifts, spiritual gifts of pastors and teachers. Now, there is some debate as to whether Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, is referring to one gift or two in this instance. The argument is really a non-issue in that we know teachers are a gift of the Spirit to the church, and that all pastors should be apt to teach. The pastor teacher is the bishop of the local church, who should possess in varying degrees the gifts of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and prophecy. He should use these to take care for the members of the local church. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 to 3, we read the following. "Feed the flock of God which is among you." Here's Paul speaking directly to pastors. Pastors, teachers. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock." Now, we've basically looked at all the permanent gifts. Amen? All the permanent gifts. But what we want to do now, I just want to, before I go to our summary and sum it all up, let me just give you again what the permanent gifts are of the Holy Spirit that are still available to the believer today. We have the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, prophecy, also referred to as prophesying, discerning of spirits, helps, also referred to as ministry, governments, also referred to as ruling, exhorting, giving, showing mercy, evangelists, pastors, teachers. As I conclude, I want to give you a little summary as we conclude our study on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts were never intended to be an end in and of themselves. God in His divine wisdom knew that even believers in Christ still have human flesh and human limitations. God knew that the only way we could effectively serve Him through the local church was if He imparted special abilities and talents to those within his churches. Unfortunately, most of the ignorance surrounding spiritual gifts today comes from pride and greed. Too many believers have misunderstood the fact that the gifts of the Holy Spirit were not for their benefit, but for the benefit of the wider local church in which they worship and serve. With respect to these gifts, the attitude of "what can I get from God" needs to be replaced with "how can I serve God and be a blessing to my fellow believers with the gifts God has given me?" This same pride, of course, can be manifested in a desire to operate in gifts that God never intended for us to use. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who distributes his gifts to the believers. As it says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, "severally as he will." If God has stated in his word that some of his gifts were temporary signs to accomplish a specific purpose in the early church, then so be it. If the word states that some of these gifts have passed away, then we are obliged to believe the Bible, period. To press the matter any further is to open ourselves up to self-deception or satanic delusion. Let us be careful that we never allow these gifts of the Spirit to overshadow the fruit of the Spirit. In this day and age of covetousness and self-glorification, it is easy for the believer to glory in his or her gifts rather than to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit that always leads to a glorification of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that concludes our study on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Before I close today, I want to remind believers, listeners, that all of the studies heard over the pastor's study are available on audio cassette tape. All you need to do is write me at the address that you'll be given at the end of the broadcast. Give me the name of the study. Whatever you'd like, I will send it to you. Again, I also want to remind folks that I've recently had a book published entitled Sermons and Studies That Make Sense, Bible Sense. It has 25 studies and sermons in it, which I believe would be a blessing to you. And again, if you'd like a copy of this book, please contact me at the address that you will be given at the end of the broadcast. Once again, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to me today on the Pastor's Study. Again, until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.